So I'd like to start off the message this morning by asking a question, and you feel free to participate. What are some objects or items that have great worth? What are some objects or items that have great worth? Diamonds. Ah, very good. Anything else? Rubies, yes. Anyone else like to throw out something? Ivory, absolutely. Gold, yes. One more. Jesus, ah, yes. Very good. Very spiritual answer. Yes, but we think of diamonds, we think of gold, rubies, ivory, things that we know have great value. But have we ever stopped to think of what actually gives these things value? Why is it that gold is worth $1,700 for a measly ounce? Think about copper. Copper is just as useful as gold. It's almost as shiny, and it's worth just a fraction of the price. Or think about a diamond. Now, you can buy a diamond this big for like $200,000. But if you go to Walmart, you can buy a fake diamond that looks almost as nice for 10 bucks. So where does the difference come in? Or how about cash? You know, when you take a look at a piece of paper, this is worth a penny. But when you look at a bill that's arguably much smaller than this, but printed on fancy paper in green ink, if it has 100 on it, it's worth infinitely more. But really, that cash is not a whole lot different than this piece of paper, or even a piece of toilet paper. So when it comes to value, context matters. Now, when we were in Guatemala, as my wife alluded to, we liked going to the market. And the first day we went to the market, we came back with a bunch of fruit, and I came back into the place with a watermelon. And the folks we stayed with were like, "Dwayne, how much did you pay for that watermelon?" And I was like, $1.25. And they were like, "Oh, $1.25? You got to be kidding me." They're like, "Oh, you shouldn't have paid more than 60 cents for that thing." They're like, "We hate that. You know, when people from the States come, they see that you're a gringo, they're showing up there, they're like, we're increasing the price." They're like, "You guys got ripped off. Like, when you go to the market next time, we're coming along because we're going to make sure you're not going to get taken for fools again." And we were kind of laughing because it's like, I don't really mind getting fleeced for 60 cents on a watermelon. I mean, that thing's probably worth 10 bucks in Alaska. But context matters. And I was also thinking about a day's wage. Does anyone know what the minimum wage is here in Alaska? Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, 10, 20, 10, 34. It's right around 10 bucks. But think about a day's labor in Guatemala. People work construction. People work in the sugarcane fields all day in scorching heat for $10. And so it's interesting, but although value seems like a straightforward, easy to understand subject, there's a lot of subjectivity to it. It depends on the context. Things like supply and demand come into the equation, but it's still something that doesn't always have a fixed value. But this morning, by the grace of God, I'd like to take a look at the value of something that is immeasurable and fixed and given by our Heavenly Father himself. And that is the value of our soul. And this morning, I would like to take a look at, one, what the value of our soul is, where that value comes from, and in light of this, how we ought to live our lives. So the first thing I'd like to consider is, where does the value of a human soul come from? Well, in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth.' And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Therefore, by definition, we are more valuable than all the rest of creation. There is no animal, no other bird, fish, monkey, chimpanzee can lay claim to the fact that they are made in the image of God. Human beings, despite all our flaws, despite all the things that we do wrong, are the crowning jewel of God's creation. We are made in his image, and therefore we have great value. Think about the first two words of the Lord's Prayer. Does anyone want to volunteer what they are? The first two words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Yes, isn't that amazing to think our Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And if your Father is a king, what does that make you and I? That makes us princes and princesses. That makes us exceptionally important and incredibly invaluable. And that was one of the things that I just really had to appreciate in Guatemala. That when we were with the believers in the church, even though we didn't know them, and even though that sometimes we couldn't even communicate especially well because of the language, we have the same Heavenly Father. And since we have the same Father, that makes us brothers and sisters. And what an awesome connection it was with these people, even though we didn't know them, but knowing that our Heavenly Father is the same. And what great fellowship we had when we were with them. But have you ever noticed how the world system is trying to erode the value of human life or of the human soul? Now, if I were to ask our students here in the audience this morning about what they're taught in school, I'm sure they would tell us all about evolution. And when you break down evolution, it goes like this. Out of absolute nothing came something. We really don't know why or how. But eventually you have an earth, and then it rains on the rocks for millions and billions of years. And from that come some amino acids, some proteins, and they dance around for millions and billions more years, and eventually we have living creatures swimming, walking, and flying through the air. And therefore, since we are just the product of random collisions, we don't really have much value. As humans, we're really no more valuable than that salmon that swims in the river or that raven that's flying by at the moment. However, this way of thinking has ramifications. I'd like you to consider our judicial system. It seems like people sometimes get punished more heavily for abuse on animals than they do when they abuse humans. I read the other day that there was a gentleman that received 37 months in prison for killing bald-headed eagles. Yet how many people abuse children or may even kill someone through manslaughter and not get 37 months in prison? Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want anyone to go home and talk to their friends and say, Sunday morning, the gentleman that was sharing with us said that it's no real big deal to kill eagles. That would be a misunderstanding, and I don't want that. Please obey the laws of this land. However, I think our world has gone off the rails, and we have lost track of the value of a human life and a human soul. Another ramification of this is abortion. Every year, there's approximately 1 million American babies aborted. And when you think about that number, that's more than the entire population of Alaska. And this is a real travesty. However, when you think of human life, when you think of the human soul as having no significant value, why not abort babies? Why not perform euthanasia? You see, this line of thinking has ramifications. But friends, that is not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that you and I are made in the image of Almighty God, and therefore we have incredible, uncalculable value in his sight. The second thing that gives our soul great value is that our souls are eternal. Our souls will never die. In John 5, verse 24, it states, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." So what this tells us is that our souls are eternal and therefore are incredibly valuable. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I was a car enthusiast. Back when I was in high school, I used to read all the Car and Driver magazines, Road and Track, and I used to be able to tell you everything about the cars, the displacement of their motors, how much power they had, how fast it could go 0 to 60. And I would just salivate over these car magazines. And every once in a while, I would convince my father to drive me to the Vancouver International Auto Show when I was in town. And I would get to see these really cool cars in person. And back then, I remember looking at these cars, and some of them were $50,000 or $80,000 or $150,000. And I thought to myself, wow, how unattainable these cars were. You know, they just seemed so way out there, so expensive. But what is ironic is that if you go on Facebook now and you type in 1997 BMW 850 Ci, that car is only worth $5,200. So when you think about it, that $100,000 car that was once so unattainable is now worth not even 10% of its original value. Now, again, I'm not advising you to buy one of these cars because they cost a fortune to keep on the road, but what a terrible investment they are. However, what if you were able to design a car that would never break down, that would never get old, and that would last in perfect shape forever? Think of the value of that car. What would you be willing to pay for a car? Now, I don't even think Elon Musk, in his wisdom, could come up with such a vehicle, but if he could, it would have unimaginable value. And that is how it is with our souls. Our souls will go on forever and ever and ever, and therefore have incredible value. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Weight of Glory, "There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal." What an interesting quote. There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. And this quote reminds us that the people that you see every day, the ones that you like, and even the ones that are not so likable, will live on forever. And they will either live under salvation or judgment. But there is no ordinary person in God's eyes. Each of us will live forever and have incredible value. In Matthew 16, verse 26, it tells us, "What good will it do for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" So in essence, it's saying you could have all the money in the world, and yet you couldn't trade it for the value of your soul. I think of Jeff Bezos. On all accounts, the richest person in the world. He has a net worth of approximately $200 billion. That's unimaginable. Think of like $200 million. That's a lot. And times that by 1,000. That's what this guy is worth. But if Jeff Bezos doesn't come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and I hope he does, all that money in the world, when he dies, will be left here and will do him absolutely no good. And even with $200 billion, you couldn't trade it for an eternity in heaven. Friends, our souls will live forever and have incredible value. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, "Our bodies will return to the earth and our souls to God." What we do for our bodies, what we do to improve our lives on this earth, is helpful, but for a short time. But what we do to invest in our souls has infinite and eternal value. So in light of the fact that our souls are incredibly valuable, that we are made in the image of God, in light of the fact that our souls will last forever, how should we conduct ourselves? How should we live our lives? Well, the first thing that we need to consider is that we absolutely need to make sure where our souls will be for eternity. If we're going to live forever, we better know where our home is going to be. You know, when my wife and I moved to Alaska, it was kind of like a journey in faith. And many of you may have had the same experience. We were living in Canada. My wife had never been here before. And I had spent 2 days here on a weekend just checking things out months before. So when we went to rent a house, it was renting sight unseen, which was pretty scary. You know, if you're going to sign a one-year lease, you kind of want to know that you're not leasing a place in the slums. You want to make sure that the house you're leasing is not rat infested. You want to make sure that it's a good pick. So we had a friend of ours who was living in Alaska at the time go check it out, and it turned out it was fine. But we did not want to move into a home for a whole year not knowing it was a good place. Friends, why would you want to spend all of eternity in a place not knowing it was suited for you, not knowing it was the best choice? And so what we need to do is make sure that our eternal home will be in heaven, that we are right with God, and that we will spend eternity with him. The second thing that we need to do, in light of the fact that our souls are eternal and have incredible value, is that we need to start seeing other souls as God sees them. In the book of 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that was one of the things that I think I really did learn more of in Guatemala, and that was to have compassion for people. You know, you can look in a National Geographic magazine or turn a program on the TV and see pictures of poor people, and that might be in India or Africa or Guatemala or South America or anywhere for that matter, and our heart breaks for them. But how different is it when you see them face to face? How different is it when you look them in the eyes, when you get to walk a mile in their shoes, when you get to hear their stories, learn their names, and really learn about them? Our compassion grows. And as believers, we need to learn to have compassion for all people. People that look like us, people that don't look like us, people that are likable, people that are not so likable. Rich, poor, it doesn't matter. We need to keep working on having compassion for the people of this world. And we don't need to go on a mission trip to learn compassion. We don't need to learn to go to Guatemala. We have plenty of opportunities here in Alaska. Thirdly, we need to learn to be the hands and feet of Jesus. As Jesus walked on this earth, not only did he forgive people of their sins, but he provided for people on all levels. It's amazing. On one occasion, Jesus was producing drink for the wedding. He was feeding people that were hungry. He was healing those who couldn't walk. He was giving sight to the blind. He healed people of all kinds of diseases. So Jesus helped people on all levels. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to do the same. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, we've all seen an Easter egg hunt where you go and hide a bunch of eggs and you bring all the kids together at a central starting spot and then you say go. And sometimes what we notice is that the kids run a long ways to go look for Easter eggs. Yet there's eggs real close to the starting spot as well. And so they'll run over all these eggs to go find the furthest ones away. And when it comes to being the hands and feet of Jesus, we don't need to run to the far corners of the earth to find people to serve. We have them right under our noses in our community. We have coworkers at work that need the love of Jesus. We have friends in school that need us to be the hands and feet of Jesus and show them love. Our neighbors might need us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because it doesn't matter where we go, there are hurting people that don't know the Lord. And we just need to have this mindset that we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think of the amazing work that has been done in our food pantry. The folks from this church, and give credit where credit's due, some that don't attend this church, have been amazing at providing for the needs of people. So as believers, we have opportunities, and I just want to encourage each and every one of us here today to make it a point to be the hands and feet of Jesus, for the souls that we are serving have incredible value. So as we wrap things up this morning, I want to challenge you to consider the value of a human soul. Your soul has incredible, infinite value. My soul has incredible, infinite value. All our souls do. And with this in mind, let us live our lives accordingly. You know, it is so easy to get stuck chasing the shiny stuff of the world, the things that we think have value, the gold, the diamonds, the rubies, the jewelry, the ivory, what have you. And those things are fun to chase after in the short term, perhaps, but they don't have lasting value. What we matter most are the things that we do for God, for that will have lasting value as we invest in our soul and in the souls of those around us. The Great Commission instructs us to go out into all the world and make disciples of all people. And we need to live accordingly, with right priorities, with right values, not getting distracted by the things that don't matter, but investing in that which has eternal value. Amen.